she never feels right. That's how she singing a strain.
How are you better off or not having not been together with Chris for so long before you formed the Wood Brothers?
Well, it was a good career move for me, I'll put it that way.
Why is that?
Well, because I sort of, you know, until that time, I certainly put in my 10,000 plus hours of playing music and working as a musician, but I never was able to realize the creative part with the business part to really make a living and be taken seriously in the world. I played a lot of crappy bars and I wrote a lot of songs, and luckily it's one of those things where I was very prepared when it came time to put the Wood Brothers together. I had a lot of songs and I had a lot of experience, and had sort of, my brother and I had sort of both evolved into grown-ups and mature, seasoned musicians with our own musical identities and just general personalities. And
are you hinting it might have been a little more volatile when the two of you were a little bit younger?
Well, we do get asked that a lot, like, you know, do you guys fight as brothers? And we always have felt like it was to our advantage to just be apart for those more formative kind of years. You know, when you're in your 20s and you're still figuring stuff out, and even in your 30s, to some degree, you're figuring stuff out, you're shedding baggage along the way. So I think we shed a lot of our baggage by the time we put the Wood Brothers together, and I think we're grateful for that.
Sure, and you've got a number of albums out now since 2005. Your latest is called Paradise. Is this one self-produced? Did I read that correctly?
Yes, that's the first album we sort of decided we could produce ourselves, and I think we're glad we did it that way. It was kind of the most, we also started our own label, and we felt real independent and like we'd been in the business long enough. And yeah, so it was a challenge, but it was really, I think it felt good to do that.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that challenge. I just talked with Chris Robinson, you know, the Black Crowes founder and uh-huh. Chris Robinson Brotherhood, and sure. They just self-produced their new album, and they were very happy with how it turned out. How about you guys? What was different?
Yeah, we were just very happy about it. You know, it's a different process because you have to be your own editor, which is not an easy thing to do, you know, and you get very close to your creative stuff and you sort of tend to lose perspective. So it was a real challenge for us to sort of produce each other and ourselves, but also very rewarding in the end, where we felt like we had a good balance of being able to step back and help each other with that. And it was great.
So he sings to himself, doesn't feel right, telling singing to strangers every night.
Well, I'm going to talk about some of the songs on the album, and Snake Eyes and American Heartache are two that jump out to me, and that they seem to have sort of a common theme, and that there's sort of a running commentary on how we're supposed to be reaching for this mythical pot of gold, or if we don't reach mm-hmm. that or don't get something, somehow we're actually a failure.
Yeah, I think that's a common theme for the whole record, and even the I don't know if you saw the album cover, but it's a donkey with a carrot dangling in front of its mouth, and and I think it's something that we all experience all the time, and as you. For me, as I get older and I start to see that happening, I'm much more aware of that in myself and in other people. And so even as aware as you might be, you still suffer from that kind of thing.
I want to make peace, but I don't have the skills. When I feel pain, I reach for the pill. I wish I had a body of steel, but I'm over the hill.
You know, we have another song on the album called I Can't Live Without Desire.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other side of that coin is that, you know, we need some things to inspire us or to give us energy, whether it's creative energy or sexual energy or anger, you know, which is important too. All those things come from desires and wanting more or wanting something or reaching for something. And so it's not that it's such a bad thing, and I think American Heartache is a little more cynical about it, whereas I Can't Live Without Desire is a little more positive. It shows you where the fuel comes from, so it's all about balance, really.
I can't live without desire.
Well, we're talking with Oliver Wood of the Wood Brothers. The new album is called Paradise. I want to ask you about another song. It's called Two Places. And even though it's a little bit different than what we've been talking about, it's still a song about not being present. And it's actually going backwards a little bit. It's about a relationship that, it sounds like a good relationship that somebody's in with a woman, but they're still looking back on past romances.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. And I think, you know, I like that a song like that can be interpreted in different ways, and it can be very specific or it can be more broad. But I feel, for me, that song kind of represents the feeling of ambiguity and sometimes, you know, feeling torn. Like, for instance, that's a real road song to me. Like, we have a complicated life as touring musicians because we're trying to balance that life and that lifestyle with our families at home, with wives and kids, and it's a real challenge. And oftentimes you feel like you're living two different lives. And so trying to bridge those lives and bring them together is a real challenge, and it's tricky. And sometimes you really want to be those two places at one time. And sometimes you're at home and you wish you're on tour, and more often for me lately, I'm on tour, the more I wish I was at home. And I think that song even takes it to the extreme where, you know, I wish that I could still talk to my mom, who's no longer with us. So there's these two different, the idea of two different worlds that are painfully separate, you know.
My mind, it wanders so far away, because I'm bound to just one place. I start longing for home when the road gets too long.
Correct me if I'm wrong here now. Your father was a physician, but he was also an amazing musician.
Close. Yeah, he was an amazing musician. He's a retired molecular biologist, so he's a biologist.
Okay, all
not
right.
A physician.
Okay.
He's always been, you know, academically minded, but he's also very talented in the music, and, you know, could have done that professionally. I think he ended up choosing more academic route, but he was a great influence on us as kids, because he was our first exposure to live music. You know, he always played guitar and sang folk songs around the house, and that was a big part of our childhood.
Did you ever get the sense that your father wishes he would have gone the music route instead of the molecular biology?
I don't think so, but I did get the sense that he got a lot of vicarious satisfaction out of seeing us do it. I'm speaking for him, though. I think it may have satisfied him to some degree to see that we took that all the way, and he did his thing all the way, and that was fine, you know.
Yeah, he must be pretty proud, very proud.
Yeah.
Well, I want to finish with the last song on the album, River of Sin. You finished the album with a spiritual. At least that's how I heard that mm-hmm. song. There's a lot of symbolism going on there. I'm trying to figure out what it exactly it is, though. The water representing the path to heaven, maybe?
Well, I never like to get too specific on what represents what.
How do I drive artists crazy this way? I drive them crazy because I try to interpret the lyrics.
And that's cool. And I think here's how that started for me.
Okay.
Is not growing up. I feel like I'm a very spiritual person, but not having grown up going to church and only getting tastes of religion through other people and through reading and seeing things in movies, one thing I was always fascinated with was baptism, like in the water, in river, you know?
Okay.
And it just got me thinking about, if someone cleans their soul in the river, where does the dirt go? Where does the dirty part go?
Ah,
you know, like,
okay.
Can a river actually be polluted by sin? You know what I mean? Which you could look at that as a metaphor for something that's environmental. You could look at it as spiritual, you know, whatever. I like to keep that broad. But I was fascinated by the idea of baptism and what it meant and how it worked and what it feels like if you're getting the raw end of that deal, or if you're struggling, or, you know, even if you are, you know, what makes you saved, in other words. And it can't be easy. And is it that simple? And I don't know. There's no answer. I don't even know what the question is. But I did. It did come from the fascination with that process. And rivers are amazing metaphors for a lot of things. So.
Well, it seems to be what we're all here for anyways, just to try to figure out what the heck is going on, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And kind of stay connected to each other and ourselves along the way.
Well, Oliver Wood, it's great to talk with you, and congrats on you and your brother Chris and the band, the Wood Brothers. We're looking forward to seeing you here at the Castle Theater.
All right, we're looking forward to seeing y'all. We'll see you soon.
Where the water comes down from the higher ground, and it's carrying the sin of man. We can't help but get thirsty down here where the river is dammed. They say good things, they happen upriver. They say the river, it can wash a man clean. But down here, the water's just dirty. You can try, but it's hard to get up from downstream. But I'll try again. I'll paddle out this river of sin. I'll sail up in broken amen. Yeah, I'll swallow some pride, but I won't be denied. 'Cause I'll try again and again. If I had a boat from this river, I'd find out just what it all means. Go see all those used to be heathens come up from the water. Wash my own sin in that river, but I wonder how much more it can bear. It must be so full of misdoing and shame. I can't see the bottom from here, but I'll try again. Try again and I'll strip down to nothing.
beginning again. Well, I'm gonna try again and again.